Around the country, evictions are on the rise, and in Maine, there were more than 4,000 evictions in 2016. This week, we're taking an in-depth look at the eviction process and its effect on tenants and landlords. In her second report, Susan Sharon has the story of a single mother and her four kids who are struggling after their eviction.
Most evictions occur because tenants get behind in their rent. And a recent report from the National Low-Income Housing Coalition finds that Maine's rental market is one of the least affordable in the country.
So I guess the sheriff tried three times to serve me at my house, but where I work full-time, they were unsuccessful. So after the third time, they just taped it to my door.
For Tina, we're not using her real name. The eviction process was triggered by a dispute with her landlord over a leaky ceiling and other maintenance issues. She withheld a portion of her rent, which is allowed by law, to try to get him to fix the problems. But the strategy backfired. Even though landlords are prohibited from retaliating against tenants, Tina's filed a case against her in eviction court and gave her 30 days to get out. Tina chose not to fight it.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Is your dad helping you?
No, it's just us today.
It's the middle of May, and Tina and her oldest daughter are at a storage unit in an old barn that they've rented for $30 a month. They've taken a day off from work and school to load up their van. With help from Pine Tree Legal Assistance, Tina was able to negotiate for additional time to move out of her house in Lisbon. But on Tina's tight budget, the family still hasn't found another place to live. So they're storing what few things they have until they figure out where to go, possibly to a homeless shelter.
You gotta do what you gotta do for the kids, you know? And if it means that you've gotta put all their stuff in storage by yourself, then that's what you gotta do.
They carry boxes up two flights of stairs and down a long ramshackle corridor. A large, thin piece of plywood bends slightly each time someone walks across the gaping hole it covers in the middle of the second-story floor. Tina's daughter hesitates, afraid of falling through.
You get what you pay for. This was the cheapest one, so let's go. The stuff that we're putting here is, like,
unreplaceable.
Irreplaceable stuff, like the memories from the kids' childhood and everything like that.
Little kids' toys will be fine.
If it can't fit in the locker, then it's going to be whatever the landlord decides to do with it, I guess.
Tina is leaving the kids' beds and other furniture behind. Without help, it's impossible for her to move it. Getting the stuff out of the house now becomes her landlord's problem. Matt Mastrogiacomo, a Lewiston attorney who represents property owners, says this is yet another out-of-pocket expense for landlords. And by the time a tenant is evicted, he says, rent hasn't been coming in for a while. It's money they typically don't get back.
So if the landlord is going to try to recoup those losses, they've got to then do a separate action, such as a small claims or civil lawsuit against the tenant. The reality of the situation is if the tenant's not able to afford their past due rent, the landlord's just going to never be able to recover that money because it's not cost effective to sue every single tenant.
That's one reason landlords and tenants often work out agreements outside of court to part ways on their own. These are known as informal evictions.
An informal eviction is where a landlord will go to a tenant and say, hey, it looks like you're behind, and if you're out by the first, you know, I won't file, but I need you out.
Adam Porton is a research specialist at Princeton University's Eviction Lab, which tracks evictions around the country.
And, you know, the tenant may decide to cut their losses and leave. And so that's not recorded by a court, but it's certainly still a kind of displacement. Certainly our numbers on the website are undercounts of the true scope of rental displacement and eviction.
And that displacement has consequences. Porton says it's often hardest on children.
Can you go put your shoes away? Those are yours. Put away.
It's now a little over a week since Tina was evicted from her house in Lisbon.
Yeah.
She and the kids moved in with her parents for several days. And then she found this new place to rent in the country. They've only begun to get settled in. Now she has a 45-minute commute each way just to get the kids to and from school. Then she has to drive to work. This means a much earlier start in the morning.
So instead of leaving at 6, we have to leave at 5:30. And then we don't get home until like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night when it's bedtime. So the kids have no time to wind down besides on the way here.
She's exhausted, she says. On top of that, she's come down with strep throat and missed additional work. But she likes this new place. It has only 2 bedrooms, but there are kitchen counters, new appliances, and windows that work. That wasn't the case in the other house. She's also paying $100 a month less in rent.
I have to pay for all of the utilities, but the landlord here gave me tips on calling Community Concepts before June to sign up for heating assistance in the winter. So they're already helping me, which is more than my last one.
Tina is spending more on gas for travel than she ever has before. But that will come to an end this fall when the kids start attending school in their new town. That's causing Tina's 16-year-old daughter some anxiety about leaving her teachers and her friends behind.
I guess it might be a little harder to get the teachers to understand my problems. I mean, I'm really socially awkward, and I don't really talk to people in the first place. I don't know.
The eviction was stressful enough, she says. She didn't understand why they were being kicked out or how far away they would have to move. And now she's adjusting to the idea that in her new home, it may take a while before she feels like she fits in. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Tomorrow, our series continues with eviction court, and later in the week, we'll hear from landlords about their challenges with difficult tenants and trying to pay their own bills.